WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Alan Toussaint seldom performs outside of New Orleans, but today we have the pleasure of presenting him at the piano live from our studios. Toussaint is one of the seminal figures in the development of the New Orleans rhythm and blues sound. In the late 50s and early 60s, at the beginning of his career, he was the chief songwriter, producer, arranger, and pianist for Minute Records, which was the most important New Orleans record company of the period. And for that label, he wrote and produced the hit songs Working in a Coal Mine and Mother-in-Law. The Pointer Sisters later had a big hit with the song Yes We Can. Robert Palmer recorded Toussaint's Sneakin' Sally Through the Alley, and Betty Wright recorded Shoo-Rah, Shoo-Rah. Toussaint has produced records by Dr. John and the Meters, and since the late 60s, he's one of New Orleans' most important recording studios. Alan Toussaint joined us for an interview last winter, and when it was over, we invited him to visit at our studios for a concert the next time he was in the area. Today he's in Philadelphia to play at the Jambalaya Jam, which is a festival of New Orleans music and food. Alan Toussaint, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with a request to play one of the songs, one of the first songs that was a big hit for you that you wrote, Mother-in-Law.
Oh, yes, it was one of our very first ones.
This was originally recorded by Ernie Cado.
Right.
Could you play it for us your way?
The worst person I know, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. She worries me so, mother-in-law. Every time I open my mouth, she steps in and try to put me out. How could she stoop so low? Mother-in-law, 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 mother-in-law. Why Satan could have been her name, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. To me, they're about the same, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. If she'd leave us alone, we would have a happy home. Sent from down below, mother-in-law, 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 mother-in-law. I come home with my pay, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. She asked me what I've made, mother-in-law, mother-in-law. She thinks her advice is a contribution, but if she would leave, that would be the solution. And don't come back no more, mother-in-law, mother-in-law, mother-in-law.
So how old were you when you wrote that?
Oh, let's see. I guess 21.
Were you married?
22. Oh, no.
Right.
But mother-in-law was a national joke.
That's true. It really was at the time. Things have changed.
Yes. The mother-in-laws themselves weren't natural jokes, but most comedians used to use that.
That's right. I'm going to ask you for another request now, to play the first song that you ever recorded, which you also wrote.
Great. That would have to be Happy Time.
No lyrics to that.
No lyrics at all.
Most of your songs have been songs with lyrics. That's why I asked.
Oh, yes. Well, those I began writing for other folk, but that one I wrote for myself.
So how did you first start writing songs?
Well, I came up imitating most people that I heard on the radio. I imitated most piano players, of course, and most all kinds of music. And after I would play and become totally saturated with it, I would sit and randomly play around. So little melodies came, and that started my writing.
You know, I think two of your influences have been Fats Domino and Professor Long here, two of the great New Orleans musicians. Do you think that I mean, I think they can be heard in your style. Would you play something of theirs and tell us how they affected you?
Oh, yes. Well, Professor Long here, I must say, of the local people, local meaning New Orleans and the New Orleans area, has been the strongest influence on my playing. And even some of my writing, the way I construct certain things. Early Professor Long hair, things like... When I first heard that as a child, that just knocked me out. And later on, Professor Longhair began to add things to his music like... He was very, very important to me.
Was it hard to learn that when you were young?
Not hard. It was very, very exciting. Once I heard it, I could get involved. It was just the idea of it, how unique it was to me. It was off the beaten path of most other things that were all generally related in some fashion. But Professor Longhair didn't seem related to anyone else who was out there at the time.
Now, I remember one of your... early recording sessions was filling in for Fats Domino because his piano track hadn't been laid down yet. You really could play in Fats Domino star Professor Longhairs and Ray Charles. How did you learn how to play like Fats Domino?
Well, Fats Domino was flooding the market. He had so many recordings out, and he discovered a secret to success with triplets. So as a child, immediately hear what that was, and most of his recordings had that in it, except for one, The Fat Man, which I thought was very exciting, but he never recorded any more like that, which was a very different kind of piano. It was kind of raunchy like... which was wonderful, but he never played like that again except maybe on one other tune. The rest of them was turned out to be mostly like the one I Want You to Know that I played on it.
Right, right, right.
Dave Bartholomew, who knew that I could play like most of the folk that were out at the time, called me in to play on a Fats Domino recording session. We were up to two tracks at that time, so we could do wonderful things. And he called me in to play like Fats would play this song, and I went in and did...
That's really great. my guest, if you're just joining us, is Alan Toussaint. And I should say, you know, whenever I've said your name, one day it would be Toussaint and one day it would be Toussaint. And so I asked you how I should really say it, and you said Toussaint. But your father's side of the family used to say Toussaint?
My father used to say Toussaint without a T on the end.
It seems very common for New Orleans families to have different pronunciations of their names.
Oh, yes. Bonnerice, Bagnaris, yes.
Right, right, right. Okay. I'm going to ask you to play another song of yours, a song that you wrote. Maybe do another one of your early hits?
Well, Lipstick Traces, the guy, Benny Spellman, that sung the bass part on Mother-in-Law, he didn't know what it was worth at the time we were doing it, but when Mother-in-Law came out and sold and went to number one, let's say, Benny Spellman, that sung the bass part, made sure that everyone within the sound of his voice got to know that he sung that part. And he would go around, he would gig based on he sung the low part on Mother-in-Law. And he encouraged me with much force to write him a song that he could use that concept. And one result of that was the song Lipstick Traces. Your pretty brown eyes, your wavy hair, I won't go home no more, 'cause you're not there. I've got it bad, like I told you before. I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory lingers with me yet. I've got it bad, like I told you before. I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Won't you come back home? Won't you come back home? 'Cause I'm crazy about you, can't do without you. Won't you come back home? Lipstick traces on a cigarette, every memory lingers with me yet. I've got it bad, like I told you before. I'm so in love with you, don't leave me no more. Leave me no more, don't leave me no more. Leave me no more, mother-in-law, mother-in-law, don't leave me no more. I guess you can see how that happened.
He really owed you one after you wrote that for him.
Oh, thank you.
I love it when you can do both parts as you're singing the high part and the low part.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, yes.
No, another song you wrote that was a big hit, I guess it was the early 60s, Working in a Coal Mine. Lee Dorsey recorded it.
Lee Dorsey, yes.
Now, I remember when I interviewed you a few months back, you explained that you had never been in a coal mine when you wrote this song.
Not only never been, I don't know anyone who's ever been in a coal mine. And I don't know why that came. Lee Dorsey was a great inspiration for me. When it was time to write for him, I would just sit back and begin to listen to the sound of his voice. And I could always hear him singing lines to songs that I hadn't written yet in my mind. And one day, while sitting on St. Philip Street in New Orleans, I heard him saying, "Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down." I have no idea why. And it was like three times faster when it came to my mind than we end up recording it. But he was a great inspiration. His voice sounded like a smile to me. And I wrote lots of songs for him, just loads of them.
Which way do you play, coal mine fast or slow?
Oh, I play it somewhere in, a little slower than maybe he did it, yes.
Would you do it for us?
We'll give it a go. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on now? Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Working in the coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine, about to slip down. Of course I make a little money hauling coal by the ton, but when Saturday rolls around,
Too tired for having fun. Too tired for fun now. Working in the coal mine. Going down, down. Working in the coal mine. About to slip down. Working in the coal mine. Going down, down, down. Working in the coal mine. About to slip down. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
God, that sounds great. When you write a song, when you wrote a song for someone like Lee Dorsey, would you play it for him to teach him how it went, show him how it went?
Oh, yes, I would play it and sing it with him. And the other artists that were recording at the same time, usually they would be right in the room, and when I'd write a song like that, they would sing the background to it. So we heard the finished product just about, except for other instruments, yes.
So you mean the first time everybody would run through it would be in the recording studio?
Oh, no.
Oh, this is...
In my parents' front room, where we did all of the writing and recording. All of the artists used to gather in this front room at one time. And we'd spend the day there. Ernie Cato, Benny Spellman, Lee Dorsey, when he came along with us, Irma Thomas. And when I'd write a song for Lee Dorsey, Ernie Cato and Benny Spellman would sing background for a while, until he get it down. Then I would write one for maybe Ernie Cato, and Benny Spellman and Irma Thomas would sing background, and we just had a party all the time going on.
It sounds like it really helped you to know who you were writing for.
Oh, heavens, yes. There was no other way for me to do it at that time. I never, during those days, wrote a song that an artist recorded, unless it was written for him at the time, while he was sitting there, he or she, of course.
And now?
Now I write songs many times because they just come, and there's no one present. But during those days, I was never alone through the day because the ladies and gentlemen, I'm having problems for this moment for some reason. But the artists would come early in the morning and wait till I wake up, and we would spend the day together, and we just had a grand time.
Well, I want to hear more of your music, but first we have to take a short break. My guest is Alan Toussaint, who is one of the leading figures in New Orleans rhythm and blues. He's a songwriter, pianist, record producer, and singer. So we'll hear more of his music after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. Songwriter, pianist, producer, singer, Alan Toussaint is my guest. And I'm going to ask you to do another song. You know, I've been listening to a lot of Irma Thomas lately. She has a new record out, and you wrote some of her early songs, and you wrote a song she sings on her new record, as a matter of fact. I'm going to ask you to sing one of her earlier songs that you wrote for her called It's Raining. Would you do that?
It's raining so hard, looks like it's gonna rain all night, and this is the time I'd love to be holding you tight. I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish this rain would hurry up and end, my dear. I've got the blues so bad, I can hardly catch my breath. And the harder it rains, the worse it gets. This is the time I'd love to be holding you tight, but I guess I'll just go crazy tonight.
Is there a story behind writing the song?
Well, with Irma, again, she was sitting right there that day,
mm-hmm.
and it was raining. And Irma was a great inspiration for me. I could write for her all day long, and sometimes I did. And she was sitting there, and it was raining, and I could see the rain hitting on the windowpane, and it was just perfect, yes.
One of your best-known songs is an instrumental that was recorded by the trumpeter Al Hurt?
Oh, yes, Java.
Yeah.
However, I didn't title that Java. It was song number two when I wrote it.
How did it get the title Java?
Well, I was playing on a recording session, and the gentleman that was in charge, his name was Danny Kessler, and he kept saying, turn the piano up. And when the session was over, he came out to me and said, could you prepare an album for me in a couple of weeks? I said, of course, in a couple of hours if you'd like. It was all instrumentals. So I put a lot of songs together, and it was song number one, number two, number three. However, he was a racehorse fanatic. So all of the songs came out with racehorse names, like Java, Tim Tam, Nashua, Whirl Away. I didn't find out until maybe 6 months, a year later, that it was all racehorses, but that was his idea.
Did that bother you?
Not at all. It was song number two to me.
Would you play us song number two? That's really different than the Al Hurt version.
Somewhat. I modulated in the middle of it, yes.
Right, okay.
However, I didn't modulate on the original. I didn't have the audacity to try and modulate in that time.
Why, because it was an early date for you?
Yes, it was very early days and naive days for me. Not that I'm so much further away from that now, but I certainly wouldn't modulate.
Let's see. I'm trying to decide. We have... Let's see. What song do you want to play next? Another one of yours.
How about a song I wrote for Brother Art Neville?
And you've been working with him for years.
Yes. However, I wrote for Aaron Neville first. He was one of the guys in the mm-hmm. front room that would sing back and forth with others. And it was years later that I wrote for Art Neville also. And this song was one that I wrote for Art Neville. The touch of your lips next to mine get me excited, make me feel fine. The touch of your hand, your sweet hello, the fire inside you when you're holding me close. So warm and tender, the thrill is so, so divine. It is all these things that make you mine. If you would leave, I surely would die. Once you were 10 minutes late and I started to cry. I've got it bad, but it's all right. As long as you're here every night, your love so warm. The thrill is so, so divine. It is all these things that make you mine.
Did Art Neville record it?
Oh, yes, he did, yes.
And I think someone else was telling me earlier that a country singer recorded it also.
Oh, yes, later on. In fact, Went to BMI in Nashville and picked up my country award. It was wonderful.
Oh, no, that's great.
Yes.
I'm enjoying you singing and playing so much. Do you have a new record coming out that will feature you?
Yes. In fact, I just recorded my first Mardi Gras album. And I've never recorded Mardi Gras songs in my life, even though living in New Orleans all my life. I love all of the traditional songs, so I didn't dare interfere with them, tamper with that success. But I was encouraged to write a certain Mardi Gras song called Mr. Mardi Gras by the gentleman that I nicknamed Mr. Mardi Gras in this album. And I used synthesizers, and that was quite daring to invite synthesizers to a Mardi Gras. But it came out very well, and we're happy about it.
Well, I guess you don't get to play piano much within the Mardi Gras parade.
No, not at all. Not at all.
So when's it coming out, soon?
Yes, it came out, in fact, last Mardi Gras, February. It came out right before Mardi Gras.
Great.
So we're hoping it'll be around for the next 100 Mardi Gras or so.
Well, it has really been such a pleasure to hear you play and sing. Thank you so much for joining us, really. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Alan Toussaint, who is a songwriter, singer, pianist, record producer, and he's joined us live for a concert today. He's in the Philadelphia area today for the Jambalaya Jam, which is a festival of New Orleans music and food. And Alan Toussaint has really been one of the centers of the New Orleans music scene for many years now. Thanks again for joining us. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.